Hello, everyone, and welcome to Medicamentum Authentica. I'm your host, Dr. Andrew Kaufman. And today we have an excellent guest, Dr. Will Trebbing, who, of course, wrote the famous book, Goodbye Germ Theory, which is a book that I read early on in the pandemic, and it really was a great resource among several others. And the most astonishing thing about this book, and I want to tell you that Dr. Trebbing is a doctor of chiropractic medicine. And I recently was invited actually to speak at a chiropractic association. And I want to say that this people in this profession are much more aware of the truth about biology and healing as compared to mainstream allopathic physicians. And, you know, Dr. Trebbing, among others, has been among the pioneers because this book, Goodbye Germ Theory, was originally released in 2000. Okay, so 21 years ago, and I'm sure that he started writing it several years before that. So he was way ahead of our time, and I want to just read a brief passage from the book for everyone to see what Dr. Trebbing was saying in 2000 or earlier. Quote, in a very real sense, the, quote, science of medicine is more like a dogmatic religion, preaching eternal damnation to non-believers and excommunication in the form of delicensing in jail and now being banned on social media and YouTube for non-conformists. The ultimate demons in this religion are the germs, a group of fiendish opportunists who attack and take advantage of otherwise good and wholesome, God-loving folks. So with that, I'd like to introduce Dr. Will Trebbing. Welcome to the show.
Dr. Kaufman, it is my absolute pleasure to be with you here. Boy, I'm a big fan of yours as well.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
I've been following you on social media, and you're doing great work. Really a pleasure to be here.
That is really humbling, Will, since I consider you like more of a mentor.
Thank
but,
you very much.
But let me ask you, you know, how were you so ahead of the game on this issue? You know, what occurred in your life to sort of prompt you to look into the issue about germ theory, which, you know, of course, includes viruses, the scourge of the world?
Well, I think everybody's heard of Gary Noh.
Yes.
Pioneer in natural health. He wrote a book which is classic. You know, it's a, you know, getting yourself well, or it's his big he's wrote many encyclopedias, or Get Healthy Now, I think is his classic work. And he did a lecture at New York Chiropractic College, which then was in Old Brookville, New York, on Northern Boulevard, in 1982. And I was a wee lad at that time, just starting chiropractic college. I just transferred from downstate medical school because I didn't want to do that. And I transferred into New York Chiropractic. And 2 weeks after, Gary Noh showed up to do a lecture for all the students there. And I was just completely blown away by the information that Gary had. Young man at the time, dynamic lecturer up there talking about everything. And I just
right. And now Gary Noh was one of the, you know, so-called AIDS dissidents, right? And I don't know if it was as early as the early 80s.
As was I.
Oh, fantastic.
Well, I jumped right in there with him. I mean, so Gary was my, and, you know, I went to see him, went to his office, had, you know, he mentored me like he mentored a lot of people, you know, for a period of time. He was really doing a lot of great work in New York City at the time. Of course, he has his own radio show. And so, you know, Gary was one of the originals, and then a lot of other people towards the mid to late 80s. I graduated in open practice in 1985, and have been a practicing chiropractor for 37 years. I've been a chiropractor more than half my life. So doing work like this. So we asked where I started. I started there and then just kept studying and studying and studying. Of course, back in those days, I've been doing this long enough where I know, you know, how easy it was to get information back in those days. And everything was basically paper and pamphlets and talking and lectures,
right?
You know, but you still built up your library, you know, within your own library. And I had just stacks of paper everywhere, from Peter Duisberg, Luc Montagnier, you know, just everywhere you go, Dr. Ruth Bernstein, all of these great virologists who were, you know, during the time of the AIDS scam, that Fauci was completely involved in at the time. And I interviewed Fauci in those days too. That's an interesting story.
I'd love to see that footage.
Before nobody knew who this guy was. And after the interview, I mean, my wife and I were looking at each other, and I this was in the early the mid to early 90s, and we just looked at each other and it's like, this guy is a complete clown. He knows nothing about anything. Anyway, so that basically how I got started in it. I'm trying to get the point across that these players have been involved for a long time. Many people don't know the players, like those a few of the doctors have passed on, but there were many prominent virologists, medical doctors at the time. At the time, talking about, hey, we really have to watch this autism epidemic that's happening, because the real epidemic and pandemic that was occurring and starting to rage in the late 80s was autism and learning challenges. And it was obvious from what fellows like you and I had noticed in just the vibrancy of children.
Yeah. Well, this is, such an important point, because when there is a real, change that's going on in the health of the population, right? Healthcare practitioners will see the trend of this. So, like, for example, when I was a young child in the 70s, my mom was a special ed teacher, and she would work at this summer program for autistic children. And it was like, one program for all of New York City with all the autistic kids.
There you go.
Right. And then when I started practicing psychiatry, it was like, one in every 20 or 30 or 40 kids was autistic. Now it was like, suddenly I saw all these autistic kids, of varying severities, but it wasn't a rare thing anymore. It was, a huge noticeable shift.
Now clump that in with learning challenges. Clump that in with not being able to make eye contact and
Right. Well,
have a
ADHD,
conversation.
didn't
Right,
really
right.
exist in the
No.
common knowledge even back then. Right now, it's,
It was
gosh.
called being a child. Right. Yeah. So the bottom line was that's what really got my journey for lecturing on my own when I was first in practice in the late 80s and early 90s. And just starting up my own classes on this, because then again I would also develop a chiropractic practice with that, and people want to come in and see what I did. And I was working with nutrition and that, but it was primarily going out and talking about the dangers of vaccines. Now back in those and how they are most likely causing this problem. Now I
Now,
was one of the first.
though, a lot of people who, are so-called anti-vaxxers or talk about the danger of vaccines don't look at, the underlying issue, right? They say, oh, well, I'd be in favor of a safe vaccine. But the thing is that the whole premise of vaccines, right, is false.
Oh yeah. So the initial stages of that were being, the foundation was being laid. I think that people really weren't looking at it until Gary Knoll started talking about it, and that's where this conversation started. And so towards the late 80s, I was really just starting to wave the flag and be a whistleblower on it and saying, this autism problem is not getting better, it's getting worse. And people back then could raise an eyebrow and say, oh, you know what? Maybe he's right. Maybe he's right. Maybe we shouldn't be injecting mercury, aluminum, and varying other poisons directly into
Right.
the bloodstream of our children. And maybe that might be causing it. I wonder. And taking this stuff, being a professional as you are, as I am, you're like, well, yeah, this is obvious. You're going to take a neurotoxin and inject it into the bloodstream, which bypasses so many different avenues of detoxification, and just put it right there.
Right.
You're going to have an issue with the population. And so
Well, even the way that the advocates who put these, so-called adjuvants, right, because that's their name for them, and it, all
sorry.
the we've got another interviewee.
Yeah, we're pretty replete with animals around here, so
Excellent.
yeah.
Yeah, so I'm sorry, I
Yeah.
think I lost track of my point.
We were talking about yeah, I mean the adjuvants and
Yeah,
all the
right.
toxins in
So
shots creating problems.
their own justification for adjuvants like aluminum, right, is basically that it's a irritant, to the immune system
To
that may,
stimulate more immunity, blah,
yeah,
blah,
right.
blah.
It pisses off your body because it's so poisonous, basically, right? And they're
So,
telling you
yeah.
that directly.
And in the early days, none of this was making sense. So there was another great chiropractor. His name is Dr. Ted Koren, who I learned a lot from. He's a chiropractor in Pennsylvania. And he's contemporary to me. He's been putting out a lot of great information on this for years. So he was hitting the road too, talking about all of this in that time. And so essentially my book, and people complain that there are a number of errors in it. it's gone. And there are, I understand that. And one of the errors that I did not correct was spelling Fauci's name wrong. He spells Fauci's name wrong. Yeah, I put the H in there because he's just a Fauci, And I'm not going to correct his name. I'm not going to correct it. Okay. Dr. Paul, I
We
do
can
agree.
call that poetic license.
Well, and the reason for that is that the base of the book was taken from my lectures, and I had two staff members transcribe the lectures into the book, and then I would go in at night and I would switch things around and change it up. Okay. And so, well, this is good, this is good. And I would add things. And this is how the book got started. And so as it took off, it was self-published, and then a publisher picked it up. And I kept adding information. Then I studied law, put the law part back in there because I figured people might use it at some time as now and to understand their constitutional rights. And that was basically how it developed into what it is over six versions. Now the audiobook is a seventh version. We've done the best we can with that, but there might be an apostrophe in the wrong place
Yeah,
here and
well,
there.
listen, every book, even the most prestigious books, of course, have
Thank you.
erratum, right? Errata.
Yeah, well,
And
I've got, yeah, errata. I like that. I've got over 350 five-star reviews on Amazon with them. I mean, it's the book definitely rocks. It was number 50 in medical books just a few weeks ago after the Crow Show.
right. Well,
And
one of the things that I talk about is logic fallacies because, when we get into this scientific material, there are very few people in the mainstream who want to have an honest discussion about it, right? And so they use logic fallacies, like they would say, "Oh, but Dr. Trebbing, you're a chiropractor, not a virologist or a microbiologist, right?" And
that's how they try to get, how they're going to try to knock you off your game. And they'll say to you, "Oh, Dr. Kaufman, you're a psychiatrist. What do you know
absolutely.
about?" Oh, Dr. Paul, you're a heart surgeon. What could you possibly know about?
Listen,
Well, let me do my fa let me do
some
my
have
Fauci.
even said to me, "You're not even a doctor." So,
Oh, they said that to
yeah,
you?
oh yeah, he's not even a doctor. So,
Yeah, people are
but
still doing that, huh?
another strategy is to like take a body of work and then find one little detail that is a mistake, and then throw out the whole thesis because one little detail is an error. And like everyone makes errors, or you learn new things. Like, there are many things that you might make an opinion on that there's just not really known for sure, right? There's no evidence to
Well,
speak
yeah.
to it, and that could change over time. So,
And you study therapy and you're a psychiatrist, so you know that there are many ways to manipulate people and using conversation. And one of the things I learned for working with Tony Robbins for, about 4 or 5 years, which I did in the 80s, was don't ever let anybody knock you off your game. It's manipulation.
right.
And one of the biggest things is in any of these conversations, which I fervently try to avoid at this point because I'm just too old for this shit, is don't ever answer any of these people's questions. Because don't ever answer questions. You don't answer questions from people that are just solely trying to knock you off your game.
Right.
And that's all the media is trying to do. And believe me, I'm a pro at this because I've done lectures in front of Anderson Cooper, who back in the mid 90s showed up with all of his cronies to knock down one of the lectures I was doing in Washington, D.C. at a church.
Wow.
By
Yeah.
the way, but it was heavily attended with about 275 people. I mean, the door, it was just out the door. And he stood up in the back and was like, "All of this is harmful. All of this is dangerous. Your children are going to die." And I essentially had my bouncers kick him out. But it's they will do anything they can to obfuscate, beguile, and just totally throw. It's everything that's happening today.
Right.
You can't get an intelligent conversation. All you can get is the baseline, root chakra, human, panic and emotion coming out of this, or trying to lock everybody down into those lower centers with this moronic idiot conversation that just, you can't get to the point, and that's exactly where they want it. Well, you're a chiropractor, what do you know? Well, this and everything, you know.
Exactly, you know, right. And I have
you could be a truck driver, you could be a garbage man, you could be a plumber and understand these points. It doesn't make a difference who's saying it. You know, science is not meant to be just blindly believed, it's meant to be tested. You know, Dr. Peter Duisberg, the world famous virologist, who exposed the entire AIDS scam, had said that, listen, the exception in science is the rule. The exception is the rule. That means, according to Koch's postulates with the germ theory, it's the same thing. That means if you have one case, just one, that goes against your theory, you have to focus on that and study what it is. The exception is the rule. That means if you have a person with AIDS, and you can't find any kind of HIV involvement whatsoever, which we know it's all a scam anyway, but there are plenty of raging leukocytopenia, okay, which is all AIDS is, toxic cases around there where people just are not, they have no immunity whatsoever through the 80s, and there is no HIV involvement. You can't find it with any kind of test. That is the exception. You need to study that. Well, where else is the disease coming from? See, that's truth. But we can't get to truth because we're living in Idiocracy, that movie.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Will, I was curious about, you know, did you face obviously some adversity in terms of the public, but in your professional or personal life, did you, you know, face any bad reactions from people as a result of your talking about this material?
Oh, yeah. I mean, just persistent, especially through, you know, just doing lectures. I mean, the Anderson Cooper thing was one thing, and that was years ago. But, you know, there'll always be a, every now and then there'll be a plant in the audience, and, you know, you just have to kind of work with it.
Right.
You know, I don't really get too much of that anymore. But, you know, the adversity, I would say, is maybe 10%. And back in the day, it used to be people standing up and saying, how could you be so ungrateful for the polio vaccine? Right. And then I had to get into the entire polio origin and where that was really coming home from, and how the statistics were fudged, and how it's really not gone away. We still have paralytic spinal meningitis that is raging and all over the world today, and they're just not calling it polio anymore.
Well, people, you know, when they say things like that, it's not their own opinion that they're expressing. They're just repeating like a tagline from the medical establishment. Oh, you know, the polio vaccine was the greatest gift, you know, to humanity in the 20th century. But who's actually looked at polio? You know, who's actually looked at when the vaccine came out? What happened? You know, if you look at that, you realize that it's not that at all. You know, that the vaccine
I met Jonas Salk back, you know, in the 70s. While I was in college, and you know, he tried to get out into the public and say that, you know, most of the polio that was around today is due to my vaccine. He also understood that he did not introduce his vaccine until polio was almost completely eradicated due to better hygiene. He knew all this stuff, and he and J. Anthony Morris, who was another whistleblower and very decent human being, J. Anthony Morris, that is, within the FDA, got fired several times and kept coming back. He was the main critic of the Gerald Ford 1976 swine flu vaccine that killed, you know, thousands of people. These people were when we actually had good people in government organizations that were looking around saying, all right, I'm seeing the Nazis starting to infiltrate here, and this is not good. I can only imagine these J. Anthony Morris going home at night and saying to his wife, you know, I'm scared. I'm scared for what's happening here, you know, because I see, and this is in the, you know, 70s, and looking around and saying, like, you know, within 20 years, we're going to have a vaccination police state. And look at where we're at right now. And what you were saying is that there are all these different taglines out there, you know, the vaccine is safe. That's a tagline, because people have been psychologically brainwashed and conditioned. It's mass brainwashing. Everywhere you go, there's a billboard There is a television at every restaurant you sit. All right. It's like Big Brother. It's everything is everywhere. And they flash up there exactly what they want you to see. It goes into your subconscious. The vaccine's safe. That's it. And nobody questions anything else. And you know the brainwashing is working perfectly when all you say is, oh, but the vaccine's safe. The vaccine's safe. And you have people dropping dead all around you and nobody's investigating. And this is unfortunately where we're at today. Now, back when I first started the book, and you know, I was able to pull people out of that, you know, and sometimes it took boom, you know, right. Stop it. You've already got one kid who's autistic. Stop giving them shots. And they would say, oh, okay, well, maybe you're right. And what would happen is that we would save that kid from further harm, you know, do some neurofeedback with them, try to reroute the brain, try to bring them out of the autistic symptoms, which were not as bad just yet. And we would save the rest of the family, you know, the three other kids who are no longer being vaccinated at this point. That's my mission right there. That was my mission of the book. Everybody has a mission. You've got your mission. I mean, my mission was how many more kids can I save from this before, you know, I mean, obviously we're up, right now we're up around my estimates, over 50% autism and learning challenges at this point. You let this go another 10 years with the vaccine schedule. I don't know that you're going to be able to find another normal child born. I mean, and I started saying this. I just wanted to say that I started saying this when one of the main things that got me into this work and peddling forward with it was as a doctor, as a healer. I mean, we get into this because we want to help people. Right. I mean, from our own childhood, we've had different circumstances and, you know, from past lives, we've most likely been physicians for many different lives past. And we've come here and we're like, how can we help? You know, we have a burning desire to help. And so when you look at a child, you can see that baby when your own children are born, and there's just a life force, there's a vibrancy, there's an alertness, there's a welcome to the planet kind of feel that they have, and you see them in the strollers and you watch them playing with each other on the streets, and you watch the magic of life happen. That magic of life has been diminished, has been put down. When you see children today, there's a vacancy going on in their faces. There's an absence. It's like they're just, there's the prana, the life force of God Almighty, the infinite, is just been subdued and pushed down in them. And you see it just from walking on the street, you know? I mean, it's very rare for my wife and I, who is also very in tune with this, to see a child that has that vibrancy that we grew up with, you know, you and I, that just that wisdom of childhood is what I like calling it, you know?
Yes, no, I agree. I mean, there are many different programs involved to bring about that, you know, vacating of the childhood spirit. And, you know, one thing that I came upon was the work of Dr. Andrew Molden and later on Forrest Moretti talking about the facial asymmetry from, you know, very minor lesions in the cranial nerves from vaccines. And, you know, Dr. Molden showed this like before and after pictures. And, you know, you could see this very, very quickly right after the injections. And so I started looking at young people, children and young adults. And it's like every single one has some kind of facial asymmetry if you look carefully. And then when I look at older adults, I don't see it at all. And
so you're an investigator really... like myself. My wife does the same thing. We're always observing. I mean, even if you're at the dinner table, just having, you know, you're always looking at people and you say, And so we get a feel for it energetically from their aura and from their presence. But we also, now there's definitely physical signs, you know, as a chiropractor, I'm always watching, you know, I'm looking at, okay, there's a sacrum that's out there. That's a right short leg walking away. You're always seeing it.
Right.
So, you know, now look, this is why we're in practice and we're trying to help people with it. But, you know, the collective energy of the human being is, and this is what the trans human thing is all about. I mean, we're being transformed. Our genetic code is being rewritten to become something completely different from what we are, you know, at this point.
Yes, and I really do.
That is the void of life force.
I agree that that is the primary agenda, you know, with this technology.
And so I'll say one thing here, more on a more spiritual note. I mean, you and I and all of us light workers here, who are here to promote the truth, will keep doing it, and they're not going to shut us down. We'll keep doing it to our dying breath because we know it's the truth. And but when we leave this world, when we leave this world, what they're trying to do is that we will not be able to incarnate back, and that's not such a bad thing because the vibration is going to be so damn low. And that's, they're trying to turn this particular Earth realm into a inert. They're de-evolving humanity is what's happening. They're de-evolving us into us into a slave race. And that's deep stuff, and I just said it. Okay. That's if you're looking at a long time, long-term agenda for this whole thing, it's that pyramid, man. They're de-evolving the average human into a slave drone, and the thousand or so who remain, according to the Georgia Guidestones, right? They want them on top, controlling the entire show with all history erased and all knowledge of how your body works erased as well. Everything from Hippocrates, up to Bouchamp, up to the present day, about any spiritual and medical knowledge that we have, which always points back to spirituality. I always told my kids, today's mysticism is tomorrow's science. So, but
Let me just
people.
add that there are, documents and historical accounts to back up everything that you're talking about. I mean, even the last thing you said about turning, Americans in erasing all their knowledge, or there's a quote from a CIA director saying, their mission will be complete when everything American public believes is false. Right? Then you have the writings of the technocrats and the eugenicists at the turn of the 20th century, where they talk about using technology for social engineering. So, all of these aspects, and then of course you have compulsory schooling, which is specifically for the purpose, I mean, originally developed in Prussia to make obedient soldiers and adapted in our nation for the purpose of making obedient slave workers, right? So everything, is really heading in that direction. It's not a far-fetched idea, because it's if we look over a period of time, we see all these indications of the people trying to shape our culture, our government, our technological infrastructure are all talking about those same goals.
Well, exactly. And part of the religion that promotes this brainwashing, part of their ritual is that they kind of have to tell you what they're doing to it because you kind of have to acquiesce.
Right.
And they do that with,
Assent.
there you go. And they do that with movies. Okay. Look at the Hunger Games. They're already telling you what's coming. Even in certain Marvel movies, they've even told you what's past with there's a Captain America scene that I pass around, which is, which is this guy that put himself into a computer and saved himself for a certain period of time so that they could use propaganda to have AI take over the entire planet. And then they go up into the sky and they're just about, Robert Redford's in this one, they're just about to, they have a bullet for every single troublemaker. And they're just going to eliminate all of us and then take over,
Yeah,
so
there
that's
are
all.
many,
Yeah, there are many
science
scenarios with it.
fiction movies, books. I mean, we should talk about Brave New World, 1984, The Matrix, right? There are many of
Huxley.
them.
Matrix is probably the most true out of all of it because, unless we can get past the veil of the propaganda, we are living in that matrix. We're plugged in. Listen, there's nothing more enlightening than being smacked across the face and seeing the reality. Seeing, you look at you look at your backyard, from propaganda. You're seeing something totally different when you look at your backyard when you're woken up. And
Right, you're absolutely right. I mean, everything in nature looks different after going through this process.
well, and then you people look different. And the movie The Matrix, I mean, just shows it out brilliantly because, and unfortunately, the way that I mean, what is it? The Wachowski brothers is no longer brothers, now brother and sister.
Yes,
Won't touch
right.
that one. But they're, they come across where look at what the powers that be, which is the grand AI, has done. It's even factored in the resistance, hasn't it? It's that 1, 2% Like, yeah, we can't really get rid of this because this is human will. So we're going to factor it into the equation, let you guys win every now and then, and then we're just going to crash it all and get back to the beginning all over again. And we are, it feels to me like we're in that process once again, where we're leading up to another human extinction event, which there have been many. And there is great controversy over whether or not these extinction events have been controlled by beings of higher intelligence, and maybe they're just being controlled right now with this particular event that's going on, which could possibly bring, very possibly bring, a human extinction event of massive proportion within the next decade.
Right. Well, there certainly are a lot of people predicting that, right? Including someone you mentioned earlier, Luc Montagnier. So let me ask you, so first of all, you understood this way before most people who are waking up now, right? You sort of predicted this progression, right? I'm sure that you weren't terribly surprised when the World Health Organization made the pandemic announcement. I'm sure there were some things that happened that did surprise you. But what is your response? What are you doing in your personal life, or where do you think, or what do you think, people should be doing in order to be prepared for and deal with the situation like you're talking about right now? And given that both of us will definitely not stop talking until our last dying breath. I mean, I really
Oh,
resonate with
sure.
that because I'm not capable of stopping.
No,
Right?
it's just not within our programming, and I fully get it. And it's because, listen, it's the old adage from the founding fathers. It's you're either going to, die on your feet or you're going to live on your knees, and it's this ritual of acquiescence and just, saying, all right, just give me the shot just so I can go have a hamburger, is the basis of the entire evil that's being perpetrated right now. I mean, just give me the shot, even though people are dying all around me. You're allowing it. You're allowing the genocide event to happen all around you, and you're not doing anything about it. So
That's right.
to answer your question, I would say every single one of us can do something about it. And you know something? You say I've been doing this a long time. I have been doing this a long time. I've been doing it when I was like the Maytag repairman. I was like the loneliest guy in town. No one else, very few were doing it. I called my other person on the phone and said, oh, guess what? We did this lecture and we're able to educate some other people. Oh yeah, okay, great. I went on Channel 12 News introducing this. I have a lecture on Sunday in Bronxville, New York, by the way. And my wife is doing the introduction, and she reminded me about how I went on Channel 12 News back in the 90s. That's a local Connecticut station talking about my book. And this is when they would actually let you on national television to talk about it. And I don't think they understood to the extent of how they were not going to be able to control the conversation, because I went on, and this is like 1998, 1990. No, it was after the book. So it was probably 2004 when I stopped doing lectures after my daughter was born. And excuse me, they came on and they said, oh, well, you're talking in this book about, vaccines aren't bad. Vaccines saved the entire planet. And I started going off on this and off on this and off on that. And the key is whenever you're being interviewed with people like this, you just don't let them talk.
Right,
So, and
right.
of course they had two medical doctors up in the corners in the screens trying to say something. I wouldn't let them say anything. At the very end of that interview, both of the interviewers were like looking at the camera saying, okay, we're exhausted. We didn't get to say anything we wanted to say. They let it air though. And they said, but the final word is here. Get your vaccines and make sure you get all the vaccines for your children. Remember, this guy's a quack. And what are we talking about? So
That's
it's
great.
been
So this
going
was
on a long
pre-recorded,
time.
huh? And they still put it on.
I don't know if you'll ever get it. I have a copy of it here on video, because it was hysterical. They did put it on and it aired for like, for at least a couple of weeks, because I think they thought they got the best of me, but back in that time, it just skyrocketed the sale of my books,
I bet.
you
I
know, through
bet.
Ex Libris. I mean, people want
Well,
this information.
people who are open to the truth, right? They can see through when the TV, news propaganda is trying to cover stuff up. And that's probably why they wouldn't, do such a thing anymore. Or if they did it, they would carefully edit
Oh,
it
yeah. Well, you could
before
see
airing
the
it.
on that interview in particular, you could see the vacancy in the interviewer's eyes. They had no idea who they were getting involved with here.
Right.
And so they kept it going. But I guess I want to answer your question, more, acutely. So back in that time, nobody was really doing it. Now everybody's doing the work. I mean, we have professionals like yourself and all the frontline doctors and all this information coming out. And so I'm like, wow, I'm just really happy to have the company. I'm just like, hey guys, we're all buddies. Yeah, wow. Hey, how you been? I've been looking for you for 12 years, but I mean, I'm glad you're all around now, what people need to do is just that, Oh, I hope you're not seeing that, are you?
No,
Okay,
everything
let me
looks
get that off
fine.
my, oops. Sorry about that. I just had a, are you still there?
Yeah.
Because I've seemed to have lost you. Okay, good. Sorry about that. So what people need to do is get involved and don't acquiesce. I mean, I guess the way I want to answer your question, because it's a really important question. Do not acquiesce. Stay open to the idea. Just stay open to the idea. Don't take anything that I say as gospel, that Dr. Kaufman says as gospel. Do your own research. It's tougher and tougher these days. I remember when you used to be able to go on Google and say, type in vaccine damage causing autism, and the first 10 articles, you get great articles, talking about
Yes.
how vaccines cause these damage. They started wiping that out in 2014. Hard to get any of that stuff anymore. You can't get anything. So everything is censored by the pharmaceutical fascist regime that is really controlling government today, because if they can buy Google, they can buy politicians, believe me. So you
Well,
have to
fortunately,
just,
though, there are still excellent resources that you can look at in
of
terms of
course there are.
websites, books, and things like the Wayback Machine, where even if things have been scrubbed, you can find many important documents going back in time.
But you got to stand up and look for them at this point, and you got to wake the hell up. I mean, that's because we're at critical point right now. And it's so I believe that the entire thing, if I were to distill it down to like what's happening, the entire scenario, the entire game we're going through is wake up or don't wake up. And it's a massive wake up of consciousness about what's being done to the human species. And you're either going to be on the side of just trying to just kind of go along as a collaborator, or you're going to realize that we're about to lose the actual human race with this. And if you don't stand up, you'll be on the wrong side of history, because it doesn't end here. I mean, we leave this planet, we take whatever we did with us, and it continues on. So this is so much bigger. This entire issue is so much bigger than just living in this physical meat suit and going through what we're all going through right now. I mean, your actions in this dilemma, in this saga, are important not only for you, but also for every single aspect of humanity at this point. I hope I answered that properly.
Absolutely. Dr. Will Trebbing, that was a fantastic message for everyone to round out this conversation. And I really appreciate you coming on and talking about your experience. And I hope people will definitely go out and read this excellent book, which is going to give you great information on germ theory, on vaccines, and even talks about terrain theory and pleomorphism, as well as the section on law and how it's related to what we're going through right now. So it's really one of the best resources for scientific and legal information. So I think we'll need to have you come back and get
Be
into
my
some other
pleasure to talk with
topics
you at any
because
time. Absolutely,
we really could get into a lot of stuff. So
my pleasure.
thank you so much and take care, everyone, and we'll see you
Namaste.
next time.